Before I begin, I just want to say that, Pastor, this morning you clearly have been, like, reading my mind. You've been, we share the same brainwave or something, because you preached on 2 Timothy chapter 3, and that's what we went over in Sunday school this morning, or before church group. The exact same verses, the exact same message. And once you started saying that, all of them, I don't know if you saw it over here, they were all going, they were trying to find me. It was kind of funny. But with that, you know, Pastor and I, we talked very briefly about 2 weeks ago about this. And after that, we haven't really talked, and not much coordination. But it just kind of fits that what God laid on my heart really fits in with what you preached this morning. And what I'm going to talk about tonight is passion and pursuit. So, what are you guys passionate about? Do you guys know what it means to be passionate about something? Well, I think it helps that if we define what passion is, and it can be defined as the state or capacity of being acted on by external agents or forces, or it's an intense driving or overmastering feeling or conviction. And the last one is that it's an ardent affection. Now, passions come in varying shapes and sizes. They come in different forms. And they affect our lives, each one of us, in different ways. Passion, it's what drives us toward accomplishing our goals. And our passion ultimately has to be the source of where we grow, out of our deeper relationship with God. And out of that passion flows all of our other passions. Now, I myself have varying degrees of passion. I'm from Colorado. I'm a huge Denver Broncos fan. I yell at my TV when they're losing. I scream at the TV when they're winning. I love my Denver Broncos. If it were possible, I would bleed Bronco blue and orange. I have a deep passion for this team. You know, I remember a couple years ago, this was probably like 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. We were watching the football game. The Broncos had just barely snuck into the playoffs. And they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And about the third or fourth quarter, I gave up. The game was over. It was over. So me and Sarah grabbed the kids, and we went to the kitchen table, and we started playing a board game. Now, I had the TV on, and I would check it, but my attention was on the kids. And out of nowhere, somehow, some way, the Denver Broncos tie the game in the fourth quarter. So it goes into overtime, and I'm still thinking, dude, this is over. This is over. Well, like three plays in to that overtime, we're playing the game, and all of a sudden, I think I gave everybody in my house a heart attack, because I jumped up from that table and started screaming at the TV because the quarterback had thrown a pass to, in my opinion, the best wide receiver, and off he went, 80 yards, and I'm screaming and jumping and yelling, and I'm going, woohoo, go! Passion. There are times where my passion for the Denver Broncos drives me absolutely bonkers, and I'm sure it does Sarah. I guess you could say that I'm a little fanatic about my Broncos. But you see, I have another passion in my life, and this passion is really for the young adults in our church and in our community. They're at that point in life where they're kind of lost in the shuffle. They're no longer youth kids, so they can't really go back with John and Jen. But they don't really fit in with the 30-somethings, the 40-somethings. And they're also at that really important juncture in their life where they are making that decision. This is no longer mom and dad's faith. This is theirs. And it's that juncture that they are trying to figure it all out. That is this, in fact, my faith? Or is it time for me to walk away? They're seeking for answers, I think, more than maybe even my 5-year-old little Claire. My passion lies with them. It drives me to study for them. It drives me to research for them. It drives me to prepare multiple lessons every single week for them. It drives me to pray for them individually and as a group. It drives me to care for them as though they were a part of my very own family. In fact, I honestly think I can say that from Sarah and I, that this small group of young adults really, really has become our family. They're our extended family, and we would do absolutely everything that we could to support them in all that they do. You see, God fills our hearts with various types of passions, but it's only when we ask Him to do so. Some are given passions for the mission field. Some are given passion for caring for the needy. Some are given passion for the orphans. But you know, not all of these passions absolutely carry an official Christian title. There are some passions out there that there is no word for it. It's a passion. Yet God places these passions inside each and every one of us so that we can fulfill and be a part of His kingdom, the growth of His kingdom, both inside and outside of the church. Now, there is an underlying passion between all of these different... It's more than just, I have a passion for dogs. No, everything is drawn together by one single factor. It's drawn together, and I think sometimes we miss what that one factor is. And even when everything is unique in those passions, it pulls us and draws us together, and that one thing is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our relationship with Jesus grows deeper because of our obedience to Him. And it grows because of the time that we spend with Him. Our passions become fueled when we make the conscious effort and decision to do so. When we look at the ultimate example of what passion is, we have to look at Jesus Christ. He's a man that gave up His life for us. He didn't do it because He wanted something back in return. He did it because He wanted to bring us hope. He wanted us to be able to find comfort in the forgiveness that He gave us. There's nothing that we can ever do to pay Him back. But He does expect us to allow Him to enter in and direct us towards growth and deeper growth with Him. We must allow our passion to be never ending and never fleeing towards the one who sacrificed it all. So, I don't think I see any of them here, so this kind of sets me up good. Jackie's here. She'll start singing for me. Typically, at this point on Tuesdays or Thursdays, I'll ask, but how do we do this? What do we do to fuel our passion? And somebody always starts singing this one little song. Now, I have no idea what it is. I didn't learn it in church when I was younger. But it has something to do with reading your Bible and praying every day. It's a real simple little song. I see Tia back there clapping her hands. Oh, there they are right there. I'm surprised they didn't jump up. It's very simple. It's reading our Bible and praying every day. I say that it's simple, but the thing is that you have to make that time. We have got to get to the point in our lives that we live out Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5, which reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind." You know, I actually kind of like the way Luke writes this in his book of Luke, their Gospel of Luke, when Jesus answered a question about what is the greatest commandment. And he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind." They're saying the same thing. But I think just that the way Luke brings it out is like, man, this is a whole body experience. The passion that I have for my relationship with Jesus Christ has got to be not just a head thing, not just a heart thing. It's got to be my whole entire body. Our passion for him will become so intense that everything flows out of this. Our passion grows into that deeper relationship with God. You know, this really kind of reminds me, I've become starting to make friends with this young gentleman. He's newer in his Christianity, his Christian faith. But man, he's on fire. And when he's on fire and he's passionate about the things that he's doing, it gets me going. Even though I'm a little older, a little more advanced, sometimes I think I forget about that passion. That passion that I need to allow to come out when I am reaching those young adults. That passion that just burns inside of me, that causes me to do the things that I do for them. You know, this young man, he's a great guy. I want to see him get into the mission field because his passion for reaching people just burns. And here I am standing over here going, "Go, buddy, go, go." No, I need to be over there saying, "Come on, let's go. What do we need to do to get you out there? How do we fulfill what God has placed in your heart?" I need to be more involved with him. I have to allow my passion for God, my passion for that deeper relationship that I crave, to just come out and not allow my personality to bury it down. And you see, it's out of this passion that flows from our insides that we take the next step. And that's pursuing. Pursuing what, you say? Well, first, let's answer what pursuing is. Pursuing is defined as to follow in order to overtake, capture, kill, or defeat. Now, that one doesn't really fit. Well, how about this one? To find or employ measure to obtain or accomplish. Yeah, okay. How about this one? To chase. Now, I'm going to pause just for a second here. Pastor just mentioned this to me before I came up. But I'm really excited about this time of the year. And John and Jen, it's not because of the candy. But I'm really excited because tomorrow we start our Century Leadership Conference. And then right after that is District Council. And now, every year is a new experience. It's new people up there on the stage. It's new worship leaders. It's new. It's just something new every year. You never know what to expect. But I look forward to this every year because for me, man, this is what gets my blood boiling. This gets me fired up. It gets me excited to serve and to do and to be that one person that gets to be the example, that gets to lead the way for those younger adults to be on fire for God. There's a lot of crying. I cry quite a bit. There's a lot of healing that happens in this. There's a lot of excitement. You see, it's just one of those cool things that the church leaders around our state get to go to, that we get to be poured into, just even for a short while. Because we don't really get that a whole lot. But you know, there's good and there's bad to this. The good, the flame within me, like I said, it burns hotter. It prompts me to do a better job at what I have been given to do. I'm motivated to become a better me, a better leader, a better pastor, and a better teacher. You know, what God has placed inside of me, that passion, that flame I have for serving Him, after something like this, man, it just overflows. The bad is that there's danger in that once I leave that building, I leave that surrounding. The bad is that, man, next day, Wednesday, my life starts all over again. And there's that danger of me going back to not being on fire for God, to not seeking after Him, to just be complacent. You know, it sometimes kind of feels, and I've done this, like, not last year, but the year before. Like, we left, and it was just like nothing had changed at all. That those words that were spoken into mine and Sarah's life did absolutely nothing. Well, the good and the bad of district council, if I don't allow God to continue that movement that He is rekindling in my life from year to year, and nothing happens, man, I'm letting Him down. I don't pursue Him the way I should. I don't have that desire for that deeper, intimate relationship with Him. But if I leave district council and I continue seeking after Him, I continually try to find Him in the things that I am doing, eventually that fire is going to come out, and kids, it's going to catch you on fire. Old people, it's going to catch you on fire. Because one person can cause a revolution. One person can cause church to grow. Because it's out of that passion, out of that flame, out of that fire that somebody else gets caught. And then somebody else gets caught. And then somebody else gets caught. And before you know it, there's revival. You know, pursuit should never be like a light switch, on and off. King David tells us this way: seek the Lord and His strength. Seek Him. Seek His presence continually. Now, some of you may be thinking, continually might seem a little excessive. Well, it's not just something for us pastors to do. This is something that God has called each and every one of us to do. This is something that He is saying, come to me, child. Come to me. Seek me continually. You know, there's times where I'm just too busy. No, stop the excuses. God's calling you. Seek me continually. He causes us. You know, when we make up those excuses, we allow that door just to kind of creak open, and guess who steps his foot in? Satan. And that's the exact same thing that he wants to do every single time, is he just wants to put that foot in the door, because then it becomes a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger, and before you know it, you're not doing anything. You know, he puts that seed in our heads that, man, it's not that big of a deal. You missed. You know, your morning prayer, no big deal. Oh, you missed one day? Don't worry about it. It's okay. No, it's not. God wants us to seek Him continually. You see, Jesus Christ didn't give up His life for us to only spend like 5 or 10 minutes with Him. He didn't die for us to say, oh, I can skip one day. No, He died so that we would pursue Him continually. Because he wants to have that deeper relationship with us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to set our communities on fire. You know, every once in a while, I get the privilege of cooking dinner for my family. And every once in a while, I get a little bit ornery. And when one of my kids, or I've even done it to Sarah, they'd be like, "Dad, can I have a little bit more of this?" Sure. So I walk over, and like I said, the ornery kicks in. And I scoop the food out, and I bring it over, and it's like a green bean. And they're like, "Dad." You know, the thing is that the pursuit that we have can be just like that. It can be just that one little spoonful. Or it can be like my brother-in-law. One year after Sarah had been spending several months there while I was in Iraq, she bought him this big, huge, ginormous bowl. And a big, ginormous, like, serving spoon. And the biggest box of grape nuts you can find. Because, like, every Saturday morning, that's what he had, was a big bowl of grape nuts. And so it was kind of a joke. But when you look at it, it's like, okay, either I can be like Brian Filipek and mess with my kids and only give them one little spoonful. Something just enough. You know, to kind of, okay, I got my taste in my mouth, I'm good to go. No. Or I can be like my brother-in-law, Brian Hoagland, and have that big, huge bowl and the big, huge spoon and be trying to take out more than I can eat. You know, our passion and our pursuit of God has got to be like Brian Hoagland and not Brian Filipek. You know, those times where we just little bits. A little bit's good for me. Well, it may be good for you for 5 seconds, but Satan's at the door. Man, if we come over here with that big, huge, ginormous bowl with that big, huge spoon, and we're just gorging on the Word of God, and we're praying the Word of God, and we're trying to reach lives, the fire inside of us is going to continue to be flamed. It's going to rekindle. And, oh, baby, watch out. Because the city of Claremore is going to catch on fire. You know, Pastor Dave, this morning you said that it's not enough to just go through the motions. That we have to want to make it without, or make it with flying colors. Not just barely make it by the skin of our teeth. You said that living for Jesus is not something that we must try, but it's something that we must do. We have to look at what God wants to do through us, and that he has given us that permission to participate in his redemptive story. Yeah. Now, I've kind of wrestled with this one, but, you know, I've heard several people within our church saying, "I want revival. I want revival." Okay, let's have revival. But you know what? It starts with you to have that passion beginning to burn on the inside. And through that passion, you begin to pursue God even more and more. And because you're pursuing him, your passion grows. And because your passion grows, you're continuously pursuing him. Stop waiting for God to show up. He's already telling you how. Seek him continually. Seek him continually. You know, I'm not sure where many of you guys are. I'm not sure where you're at in your spiritual walk. But who here wants to see real change in your life, in your community, and in your church? Oh, come on now. Who wants to see change in your life, in your community, and in your church? You know, all you have to do is just to allow that passion to burn, to just start that fire. And then you just allow that drive to cause you to pursue him. And you know, there's no better way to end something like this. I'm not a motivational speaker, but you know what? I think God has gotten me motivated to the point where I can say, guys, stand up to your feet, each and every one of you. Come down here to the altar right now, and let's start seeking him continually, and let's start pursuing him constantly so that we can see revival in our church, so that we can see revival in our lives and in our community. So, Mark, while you're back there, Mark, can you play some music for me, please? And guys, stand up and come join me down here at the altar. Come on down. This isn't a call for one person for salvation. This isn't a call for anybody. This is a call for everybody. God is calling for you to seek him continually. And guys, it starts with us. It absolutely, 100%, it starts with us.
To be your